Blessings to you from God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Savior crucified and risen again. Amen. Today, let's talk together about immortality. Immortality, think about that. Eternal life, to live forever and ever without end through Christ. What's God teach us about that in Scripture? And I'd like to do it especially with you from this angle, to compare the unbelieving world's view and desires for immortality, what they dream of, and compare that with God's plans and desires for our immortality in Christ. Is there a difference between the two? Let's take a look at that today and see about immortality from God versus that which the world seeks and desires. What can we say today, therefore, of immortality for our growing up in the faith and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? So, immortality, what can we say of that? First of all, well, what is immortality? What's a definition of immortality? How can we define it? Well, if you look it up in Webster's, it's the quality or state of being immortal. Thank you very much. Unending existence. Now think about the prefix im means not, right? Impossible, impossible means not possible. Impenetrable means not penetrable. Immoral means not moral. Immortal or immortality means not mortal. Okay, what's mort? Mort is a word, root meaning death. So immortal means not able to die, but live forever. That's what immortality is we're talking about today. Next question, did God actually originally create us for immortality, to live forever, in his original design? Yes, actually is the answer, because in Eden, if you recall, with Adam and Eve, there was no death at all in the world. It didn't come until they sinned and ate of the forbidden fruit. If they had never eaten of the forbidden fruit, there would have been no death and they could have lived forever, immortal. Where did mortality, therefore, come into play for us? When they sinned, right? When they ate of their forbidden fruit, God's word came true for them and us. Namely, in the day that you eat of that forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. And did they die when they ate of the forbidden fruit? Yes, death was at work in them. They weren't immediately dead, but in spirit, they died instantaneously. Because Paul says in Ephesians 2 that people who don't know the Lord and are sinners are dead in their trespasses and sins in which they walk, following the devil, basically. Secondly, they died in their relationship with God because the sin made them an enemy of God, so they became mortal. And their bodies already had death at work in them instantaneously. They began to age. And then eventually, in the course of time, their bodies perished and they returned to dust, according to God's judgment on their sin. And so man became mortal. Namely, he was subject to perishing, subject to death through sin. And so that's the same for all of us, right? We're all mortals through Adam's fallen mortal nature. For Romans 5 says, as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, so death spread to all men because all men sinned. All are mortal. We are mortals, not immortal. Next question. But does man still yearn for immortality, to live forever? You know, everybody does. Nobody wants to die or perish eternally. Everybody wants to live. Everybody wants immortality. I want to live forever. Ecclesiastes 3, God has put eternity into man's mind, yet so that he can't find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So eternity, is in man's mind. He desires, he longs for, he yearns for eternal life, immortality, and he's fascinated by it. Ancient times and modern, the same. Let's take a look at ancient times. Can you do that with me for a moment? Did the ancients yearn for and were they fascinated by immortality? Yeah. Sure, I mean, check it out. The whole ancient world, they created, out of their own vain imaginations, I'll add, a whole pantheon of the Greek and Roman gods. They've got Zeus or Jupiter. He's the great, strong chief, most potent, powerful of them all, of their gods. Then you had Poseidon or Neptune, who is the god of the sea. He's another immortal. Then you have Diana or Artemis, a god of the moon, of the hunt and sex and fertility. So the ancient world were fascinated by the immortals. They thought about them, they wanted to talk with them, they wanted to interact with them, they wanted to worship them, that if possible, perhaps they might by them achieve also immortality. And they had stories about people who supposedly got there, almost, at least Achilles. Remember that? We talked about him at another point. He was born, supposedly, of his immortal mother, a nymph named Thetis. She, of course, like a lot of these gods, they just sleep around all the time. She slept with a mortal man. She had a mortal baby, Achilles, but she wanted him to live forever. So she dipped him in the immortal river called Styx of the gods, and she dipped him down by his heel and brought him up, and so his whole body was clothed in immortality except for his heel. So hence we still have an Achilles heel today, right? And by that alone he could be killed, and by that alone he was killed at the end by a poison arrow that hit him in his heel, which was still mortal. But see how the ancients all were yearning for, fascinated by the immortals, and they wanted to attain immortality if they could by them, the great pantheon of the Roman and Greek gods. Is modern man any different? What do you say? Answer, he's more or less exactly the same. Who are our pantheon of immortal gods? Well, do you know that the superheroes of today are just the ancient Greek and Roman pantheon repackaged for an American audience and somewhat cleaned up and Christianized for as a new thing, but they're still just the ancient gods. You know, I grew up, of course, I loved Superman growing up and Aquaman. 1973, Super Friends cartoon came out. I loved that as a kid, but I never realized the introduction to that show started like this. In the great hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe, what's that mean? It's just the ancient gods, repackaged for the modern American, immortals, basically with superpowers, that we also can then still be fascinated by them and have our kicks with immortality by watching and dreaming about being them. Superman is Zeus or Jupiter, the chief, the most potent, strong, one of them all. Then you have Aquaman. Who is he? Neptune or Poseidon, the god of the sea. Then you had Wonder Woman. Who's that? But they didn't even change her name. It's still Diana or Artemis. It's the same goddess. And then, of course, they did throw in Batman. That was a new one, but that's America for you. But it's still just the ancient gods Christianized and cleaned up a bit for a more Christian culture, because the ancient gods were just self-centered, whimsical, egotistical, fornicating maniacs like the gods of old were. They were jerks, in other words. But the superheroes Christianized, the Super Friends said,
their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
You see, they put some Christianity into it, but they're still just the same ancient gods. And the modern world is just like the ancient world. They're fascinated by them, want to imagine being them. If only I could have superpowers and be invincible and impervious to bullets and I could be like them, wouldn't that be great? So dreams man and yearns for immortality. Wouldn't that be cool? Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, up, up, and away. That's what we think. It'd be great to be like that different race, the immortals. And so the entertainment industry makes billions of dollars all the time by people because they're longing to be immortals like them, or at least to dream of it and dive into that world because he wants it. All man wants immortality. Next question. Does man actually literally, though, try to achieve immortality? He does, actually. Number one, you ready? By the religions of the world. Okay? Everybody's after immortality, aren't they? The Muslim man, for example, thinks if I keep the five pillars of Islam, die killing an infidel, I might, after this world, have immortality, and so I'm going to go after it. The Jewish man, depending on which Jew you're talking about, what kind, he might say, if I keep the law and the words of the rabbis, I might live forever. The Hindu man, if I meditate and go into some transcendental, elevated consciousness, I could become a god and live forever. The Mormon, I've talked with one of them recently, if they get sealed in the secret marriage ceremony in the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City and wear their magic underwear, maybe they can become their own gods, rule over their own universes with their own goddess wives. The Jehovah's Witness, if I follow the teachings of the Watchtower, perhaps I can live forever here on Earth. So, number one by religion. The last, the most common one of all, of the average unbeliever thinks, I'm a good person. By just being a good guy, even if I don't believe in Christ, I'll die one day, go to heaven, and I'll live forever. So he just says, I'll be good, I'll get there by my deeds. So man tries many ways, doesn't he? Because he's yearning to have immortality and achieve it. And in the meantime, slap some Botox on there and look forever 20, which, spoiler alert, that doesn't work. Don't go that way, it's a disaster. But he's always after, I won't die, I want to live forever. Next question. Can any of these ways, though, actually achieve immortality for a person? Answer, no way, never. God will never let it happen. Why? Because as for all the religions of the world other than Christ, it's just the vain imaginings of man. Demonic deceptions, just like the ancient gods. They're fake gods. They're they're false idols. God says of them in the Bible, all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The idols shall pass away utterly. They're like scarecrows in a cucumber field. They can't speak. They have to be carried. They can't walk. Don't be afraid of them. They can't do evil. Neither is it in them to do good. They are the work of men's hands. They are mirages in the desert. Whether it be the ancient pantheon of the Greek and Roman gods, the modern superheroes, Muhammad's deceptive dreams, the rabbi's traditions, Joseph Smith's supposed fake golden tablets, the Watchtower's misleading teachings, they're all no way gonna give you eternal life or immortality. The idols are the work of men's hands, says God. And fourthly, as for good deeds, we all know that no one does good, not even one, says Scripture. They've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin, Linda Hogan, where are you? You said this morning, is death. That's mortality. So by your own works, efforts, strivings, no man can attain what he seeks, to live forever. It's far beyond man's reach. He will die eternally unless one who has immortality can come to give it to us. Next question. Is there such a one? What do you say, Ian? I know you know this answer.
Yes.
That one who already has immortality and can give it to you is God, the true God, the one God, and God alone, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, he is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. You need the one and only immortal God to give it to you if you're going to become immortal. And he has done that for us, friends. This is the good news. How has he done it? By sending Jesus. He's the Word of God through whom everything was made, and he is God with the Father. Immortal one, he came down and took on our mortality. The Word became flesh. He took on a body like ours that can die, that he might go to the cross, die for our sins, paying the penalty therefore of them, to liberate and set us free from their ravages, from the penalty of sin, which is death, and then to rise victoriously on the third day, which you know he did, as we celebrate this Easter, and to give, therefore, resurrected eternal life to all who believe on him, connected to his eternal life. He makes you an immortal. Isn't that fantastic? I'm preaching the only way that mortal man can become immortal, is through the immortal God, Jesus Christ, who took on our mortality to die for our sins, that we might become immortal with him. Not God, but immortal, everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have immortal life, eternal life. That's immortality, that's what it's saying to you. You become an immortal. 2 Timothy 1:10. Paul says, Christ Jesus, our Savior, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so, Jesus Christ, I declare to you, is the one and only true superhero of the world. Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, jerks. Jesus, and fictional. Jesus Christ, true. He's come into literal history as the real and one and only God to give you immortality. And remember, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord through faith in his name. Praise God for that. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's now compare God's plan for immortality versus man's dreams for immortality, and see how God's are so far superior and excellent as to be the difference between light and darkness. Okay? Man's always after immortality too, fallen man, and as is seen in his false religions and worldly entertainment, what is man's immortality about though? It's just this. Now listen carefully, this is what I wanted to preach this to you about. Man's view of immortality, fallen man, is just this. Just to be able to live forever just as I am now. In my own evil heart, in my own present sinful state. Just clothe me with superpowers so I can deflect bullets, fly up over a building, and live forever, and all shall be well. I'll be satisfied. Notice, all of the superheroes, the pantheon of gods, technology, and all these things, they all want immortality without a new heart, without a right relationship with God, without a renewal of your nature, without a new mind, without new purposes placed in you. What would that be like? If God gave immortality to people in their own present evil state, and mind, all hell would break loose. It'd be a complete disaster eternally if God gave them superpowers in that way with no change of heart. But that's man's dream. No. I don't want Jesus. I don't want God's way. Just make me Superman and I'll do good. Everybody will love me and I'll save the world. No, you won't. You'll be a disaster. Because the evil residing in you, if given power of immortality, well, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. You see this in superhero movies where some geek or some guy that's not supposed to have powers somehow magically gets powers, and what's he do? Instantly becomes the world's worst villain. So would we be if God gave us immortality, but he didn't change the heart, but left it evil. Therefore, and you see this in the Bible, Genesis 3, man fell. Adam became evil, and what did God do for him? God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God drove out the man from the garden, and at the east of the garden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. What you dream, O world, of immortality with an evil heart, God says, shall never happen. I would never give it to you, because it'd only be the Greek pantheon of gods to the extreme forever, disaster, evil, and death. So man's ways of immortality is completely different from God's ways, which is, I will give you eternal immortal life in Jesus as a gift, but I'm going to give you a new heart with it, a new character, a new mind like my own nature, with new desires, new emotions, new will, and a new purpose of walking with me and doing good, only the right, always. So notice, God's way is very different from man's, and man's ways, his dream, think of it. What does the Muslim's man dream of immortality? What's it look like? Well, he gets 72 perpetual virgins with pear-shaped breasts. That's what it says. What is that but a parade of carnal lusts and evil forever? It'll never happen, God says. I'll never give it to you. And what does the Hindu man think? I get to be gods and live forever. Oh, yes. But no, I won't acknowledge the true God. God will never let it happen. Not like that. The Jewish man says, I'll live forever in my self-righteous pride. God says, that'll never happen. The Mormon thinks, I'll become a god and have countless gods and rule over my own, countless wives and rule over my own universe. God says, that'll never happen. That's evil. It's a parade, get it, of carnal evil lusts. God will never give immortality to such, just like he drove out Adam in his evil state, lest he should live forever like that. And so this is really cool. I thought of this. What's the difference between immortality and immorality? One letter, a T, which looks like a cross. If you try to get immortality without the T, all you end up with is immorality. If you try to get immortality without Jesus and his cross, all you'll get is immorality, and God will never let that happen. What God wants is immortality with a T, a cross, Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you immortality, live forever, but I'm going to do it by giving to you first a right heart. I'm going to restore you to a right relationship with me. Then I'll give you a new mind made more like Christ every day. Then I'm going to renew your will, your desires, your emotions, and then your purpose, so that you and I run forward in all that is right for the cause of justice and truth in the earth. Then I'll give you immortality, and in your body too, eventually. See how God's ways are far superior? More super than Superman has to be beyond comparison? Do you have superpowers now, is the next question, of immortality at work in you? Guys, you already got a new heart. God's taken out your stony heart in faith in the gospel and in baptism and given you a heart of flesh that you might walk in God's statutes and be God's people. And God says, I'll be your God. A right relationship, a new right heart, a new you. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. The old's gone, the new has come. No longer under the power of death are you, for he who believes in me, Jesus says, has eternal life. You've passed out of death into life. And you already have eternal life living in you right now, 1 John 5 says. And the powers of the age to come are already at work in you better than Superman. Are you guys superheroes? Check it out. Superman, what can he do? Get a kitten down from a tree? Catch a helicopter? Nab a thief? Lift a car? Big deal. You can lift a heart. You can bring a soul out of death into life by preaching Jesus Christ. You can walk in the truth. You can preach to the people. You can change a human heart, which Superman can never do. You can reconcile people to God and lead them to eternal life. You can heal the sick. You can change the weather through your prayers. You can raise the dead in spirit, if not also in body. Superman, sorry, he can't even cure a common cold or a sniffle. You're far superior already to him as you are now. But one day soon, last point, is that your body soon is going to be clothed in immortality. God can't give it to you right now because you're not yet perfect because you still have an evil heart, a part of it. But one day soon, you will be made exactly like Jesus, completely in heart, no more sin nature. And then is the time for immortality to clothe your bodies too at Christ's coming. And wow, think about this, guys, what your new body is going to be like. So far superior to Superman. Superman could still be killed by kryptonite. Nothing can kill you, your future body. For they cannot die anymore, Jesus says, but are equal to angels, being sons of the resurrection, being sons of God. Will you be able to fly? Well, our bodies, the Bible says, will be like Jesus's body when he comes. Could Jesus fly? Yeah. He went up to heaven in a cloud. The angel said he's coming in the same way on the clouds. Superman, you ain't got nothing on us. We'll be able to fly. How about Aquaman? He likes to see, he likes to swim. Jesus says to Job 38, have you entered the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? In other words, I have. You can do what Jesus can do with your new body. So you're going to be better than Aquaman, praise God. And Wonder Woman, I don't even know what her superpower was. Maybe she looked good in a bikini. I don't know. But your beauty will be far better. For you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You'll be forever young. You won't need anything. You'll be perfect and in shining, brilliant glory with Jesus forever. This is the promise. You're sown right now perishable, raised imperishable. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. And we're all going to be changed, says the Bible. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, Christ comes and you'll be raised imperishable. For the perishable must put on the imperishable. The mortal nature must put on immortality. And when that happens, death will be swallowed up in victory. And the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what great things are before you, friends? Man's views and dreams of immortality are immoral. There's no cross, there's no Christ in it, no new heart. But God's plans and dreams for you and purposes for immortality include the T, the cross, Jesus, a right heart, a right relationship, a new mind, and a right purpose confirmed in you 100% everlasting into everlasting, to always be for truth, justice, and the heavenly way. So Superman, by the way, he's fiction. Jesus is the real deal, the real God, the world's one and only true superhero. So with all this before us, let's press on then for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.